Say good morning to each one here this morning. Glad to be here this morning as well and to worship and to be part of this special service this morning. Thank Daryl for leading those songs by the blood of the Lamb. And song talks about, obviously, at the end of life, if we are going to make it to heaven, it's going to be by the blood of the Lamb. But I thought about that as we were singing with that song. That's why we're here this morning, isn't it? It's because of the blood of the Lamb. It's because of salvation. And it's because of the life that we can have in Christ. I thought maybe I should issue just a little bit of an apology for being so late this morning. I don't know if there's anything much more stressful than when you're ready to go to church and you go to the computer and you hit print and there's just silence and there's nothing print. And your notes are there and you don't know what to do. And anyway, we're thankful we got the computer and the printer to communicate. But it took a while. So that was the reason this morning for being late. Whenever I think about a baptism service, my mind often goes to the verses in Colossians chapter 3. I invite your attention to these verses this morning. I'd like to look at a principle that was established in creation this morning when in John 12, verse 24, Jesus' word says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Those were the words of Jesus. We're going to look at Luke's version of the same account. But this morning, as I think about a baptism service, you know, baptism, we do not believe that the baptism, the water itself, is enough, or would it be, is it capable of washing away the sin of the individuals? But rather, it's an outward sign of something that has already taken place inside in the hearts of these individuals. But as we think about baptism, I often think about being risen with Christ, and that's the message title I'd like to give this morning, is risen with Christ. We have these words in the first verse of Colossians chapter 3. I'd like to read the first four verses at this time and then possibly read the rest down to verse 17 later. Verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." The thought of being risen gives the idea of having power. It has the idea of being made alive. And as I pondered this service this morning, I think here the other week, Brother Anthony made mention of the fact that it's almost the 500-year anniversary of the Anabaptist history. Here in a few weeks will be 500 years since the first three men stepped out in faith in obedience to the scriptures and were baptized again because of what they believed the Bible teaches. And ever since then, the Anabaptist movement was started. And many a person have lost their lives because of the service that we are about to experience this morning. Simply because they believed what the scriptures said and they took those teachings of scripture, applied it to their lives, made it a part of their lives, lived it out in their lives, and they were put to death. Many a person was put to death because of a service like this morning. For not only being baptized, but also the leaders of the church were also hunted because of performing this baptism, because they performed what they believed was to be truth, and we believe it this morning, yet to be true. But as we think about being risen with Christ, we can ask the question, and we probably understand it, but we ask the question is, risen from what? And I'd like to go to Luke 9 and read some verses here. We have the words of Jesus. The verse I read at the beginning from John 12 was John's version of these verses here. I'd like to read 23 to 26. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." The words of Jesus, the call for whoever would come to follow him. He had three requirements here. I see in verse 23. He will deny himself, he will take up his cross, and he will follow me. Not just take up a cross, but it's a daily cross. It is something that we need to take up every day if we're going to follow Christ. What does it mean to deny oneself? It means to disown or abstain. That's what the word deny here means. It is to give up of oneself and his desires for the cause of something else. In this case, it is the cause for the kingdom of Christ. To deny oneself, to take up his cross daily, and to follow Christ. Matthew 6:24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." The words of Jesus, we have a choice as to whom we will serve. We cannot have the best of both worlds. Either we must decide who we will serve. God is not satisfied with just a part of our lives. He's not even satisfied with 99% of our lives, but rather he wants it all. And if there's anything there that is hindering his work in our lives, he will not be able to abide there. He's not satisfied with a Sunday morning Christianity. He is not satisfied with a good testimony Sunday morning and a life of self during the week. A life of self-denial is not a life of denial so that others may think well of us, but rather it is a life where we deny ourselves of something that is rightfully ours so that the kingdom of God may be seen in us. And that can get so every day, doesn't it? It's every day that we face those times of how will we respond. And back to the thought of the early Christians giving their lives for the sake of the gospel. I think this verse here in verse 23 and 24 probably took if we would be in their shoes, it would probably take a new meeting or an extended meeting as to what is involved in following Christ. These individuals that knew that when they made this declaration of obedience to the scriptures, when they knew that if the authorities found out that they were rebaptized, there was a price on their head. They met in the woods. They met in caves. They met in weather like this, out in the woods, for a baptism service because they were desiring to be obedient to scriptures. And you can read, I'm sure we've all read stories of mothers that had children, babies, husbands that were burned at the stake. They were needed at home. Fathers the same way. Young people with lots of potential, possibly looking forward to marriage. They chose the way of God, and sometimes it meant that life was taken before they could realize the next step in their life. But what does this type of self-denial look like in 2025? We are glad to live where we do, and we appreciate the freedoms that we have. But still, I believe this call of Christ to deny oneself is relevant for today. But what does it look like? It can take on many different faces, I'm sure. To stand for truth when others are not. Or how about when we have a busy schedule and we run into this individual that needs someone to talk to? And we look at the time on our clock on our phone and time is ticking and we know that we should be somewhere else in 20 minutes, but we know that this is going to take much longer than that. We give a listening ear while we're texting the person that we're scheduled to meet next and asking to reschedule because something else is more important. I believe that's at least in one area where we can deny ourselves. And there's many other things we can talk about. It can be our business. It can be our job. To serve on the mission field, we need to give up. Or what about quitting work early to help with children's club? Go to street meetings. What about letting our phone lie on the table? Maybe we turn it on silent mode so that we can spend time reading the scriptures without being interrupted. And you can put a whole list of things there that maybe you can think of. But nevertheless, the Bible calls us to, Jesus said, to deny oneself if we're going to follow him. Like to look at what Jesus' attitude was in Philippians chapter 2. Very familiar verses here. We need to remember that Jesus did not require more of his children than what he was willing to do himself. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Here we have the mind of Christ. And it says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." And I'd like to turn back to Luke 22. Here I think we can see the humanity of Jesus as he realized that what was coming, and as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'd like to read verses 41 to 46 of Luke 22. Verse 41 says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Here Jesus, realizing that the weight of the sins of the world for all of time was on his shoulders, and it was up to him to bring salvation to man. And no doubt he understood the pain and agony that was going to befall him in the very near future. The rejection of his closest friends, the pain of all that he had to endure. And it was a struggle, I believe. But I like verse 42, said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Resignation to the will of the Father. And in Matthew 26, verse 53, Jesus said, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus had the powers of heaven at his disposal to deliver him from this time, but yet he voluntarily went through this time of his life to bring salvation to you and I, and to be willing to die and to be buried, to rise again, so that you and I can have new life. Second part of the message, simply risen with Christ. I'd like to think about that. As we think about the need for Christ to die, a need for Christ to suffer, a need for Christ to be buried, I'd like to go back to 2 Timothy 2. We have the words of Jesus that we are to deny oneself, we are to be dead to sin, we are to give up of oneself. But I believe this morning that being risen with Christ is synonymous to being dead to sin. We cannot be risen with Christ if we have sin in the world living within us. We cannot be risen with Christ if we are not dead to the world. In 2 Timothy 2, 11 to 13, it says, It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Precious words, that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Dead to the world, dead to sin. I came across a quote as I was studying for this. It says, Dead men do not fill the world with song and cheer and love. Dead men do not become missionaries and agents of God's grace. It is not God's plan that we be simply dead to sin. We cannot just abstain from things, but God wants us to fill us with his power. God wants to fill us with new life. God wants to fill us with the joy of his salvation. He wants us to be filled with his grace and his mercy. And he wants us to go out and extend that to others. I believe that a Christian that is risen with Christ knows the scriptures, and he has the scriptures in his memory, and he has the scriptures as the answer to man's need. John 1, verse 4, it talks about, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Talking about Jesus Christ himself. Talking about the Word. And the question comes to me as I was reading that verse is, am I reflecting the light of the gospel to the world? Am I an individual that is dead to sin, yet filled with the joy of the Lord? Ephesians 2. Very familiar verses here as well, but I'd like to read the first 10 verses of Ephesians 2. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I'm sure these verses are precious verses to each one of us here this morning, but the thought of being quickened together, verse 5, being quickened together, being made alive, that's what that word means, being raised up together. And then in verse 6 it says, "It made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." The grace, the love that God had to save each one of us, even when we were still in our sins, before we were able to work works of righteousness, God saved us and made us his children. And I love these three descriptions of verse 5 and 6. He made us alive together, quickened us together. He raised us up together, and we sit together in Christ Jesus. We are one with Christ. When we give our lives and surrender to him, when we deny ourselves, when we take up our cross, and when we follow him, then Christ is able to raise us up and to make something good out of a life that was, that as it describes here in verse 3. He can make our lives something fruitful, something that he can bless because of when we die to self and take up our cross and follow him. Christ voluntarily lived. He voluntarily was crucified and gave his life and was buried, and yet he rose again into newness of life. And I believe that's a model that you and I need to follow as we voluntarily surrender ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We take up our cross, we deny ourselves, and then Christ can fill us with newness of life. In Romans 6, verse 4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." I'd like to go back to Colossians chapter 3 again. I'd like to continue reading where we left off and read to verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Back to continuing this thought with being risen with Christ. Verse 1 talks about seeking those things which are above. Verse 2 talks about setting your affection on things above. The individual that is risen with Christ has another set of values than what the world has to offer. He has a choice to make. It talks about mortifying here. It talks about putting off in verse 8. And then it also talks about putting on and put on the new man at verse 10. Verse 12, put on therefore. We have choice to make. We can put off. Or there are things to put off and there are things to put on. Like the verse we read, we cannot serve two masters. Which master are we serving? I believe the person that is risen with Christ has an outward evidence of what has happened inside. And that's a blessing to me this morning as you think about the change that Christ can make in an individual's life. His relationships are changed. The view of himself changes. His view of others change. And it can go on and it affects every area of our life, whether it's possessions or whatever it is. His business becomes an avenue by which the kingdom of God is promoted. It's not just for personal gain. Everything he has is changed as he is risen with Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Again, we have very familiar verses. Just turn to that so I make sure I get it right. But Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A living sacrifice, something that is always ready to be used by God for whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and to go wherever he chooses to send us. I believe an individual that has risen with Christ is not just dead to sin, but is alive to Christ and produces fruit from his life that gives evidence of that life. In Colossians 3, verse 3, I like this word picture here, "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ and God." And one of the places I was reading is looking at the meaning of this verse. This this idea of a life is hid has the idea of being concealed or being safe. I believe that can give us not only security for the future, but also security in our life presently. That we are secure in Christ when we are dead to the world and we are risen with Him and we set our affections on the things of Christ. Just a few verses yet in closing. Christ not only came to show us how to surrender our lives to God, but He also showed us how to live and respond to life in God's way. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where that Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Another quote from another quote I came across. True freedom is not doing as you please, but doing as you ought. The results of a risen life is that of beauty. Life of fulfillment. Do we ever wonder how we can be fulfilled in life? Well, in a large part, it is simply surrendering our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and having Him fill us with His power and His resurrection power. I believe being risen with Christ not only saves us from sin, but also I believe it goes on and gives us the victory and the power to live in victory over sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that familiar verse in John 10, verse 10, the last part of the verse, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That is my desire for each one here this morning, that we would be risen with Christ so that we could have that abundant life. And to you, two young sisters this morning, may God bless you as you walk with Him each day. I'm sure you have come to an understanding what it means to walk with God, but God still wants our all every day for the rest of our lives. And if we give Him our all, He will supply our needs and will meet our needs, and we can have that assurance. We can have that abundant life. May God bless each one.